help but think that as they were singing, that's how Whitney Houston got her start. That's how Aretha Franklin got her start. Amen. And we ought to believe that the same God that blessed them to prosper, his hand is on our children, and we thank God for that. Amen. And we're happy this morning, even though her husband is not here, but the bride, amen, the new wife, Lauren Bellamy. I had to remember the new name. Stand up, Lauren. Let's congratulate Lauren on her marriage to DeAndre. Amen. And he's gone off to military training school. But so happy to have you here and your son. Amen. God bless you. Let us stand all over this place. If you have your Bibles, we want to call your attention to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. We thank God on today that he is here with us. Amen. Bless you, Lord. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Hallelujah. There you will find these words. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Amen. For just a few moments this morning, I want to speak into your hearts and in particular to our young people, this reality that our God is able. Amen. Why don't y'all help me and just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
our God
is able. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us that you are able. For this we thank you. For this we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, usher. This particular passage of scripture extracted out of the holy and righteous word of God deals definitively with three boys of Hebrew origin. It was after the Babylonian army had spread its empire from India to Ethiopia that Jerusalem, the place of peace, the holy city of God, had already been sacked and the nation of Israel had been robbed of its best and its brightest. It was after all of this that these three boys, who were known in their hood as Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, were taken into bondage and slavery. According to the Afrocentric Semitic tradition of their day, each child's name bore a special spiritual and divine significance, such that each time that their name was called, it was a verbal reminder of the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. Their names were designed to mean something. And so consequently, in that tradition, these three Hebrew boys were given names that bore significance in relationship to the depth of their faith, the heritage of their family, the tradition, and their ancestral heritage. Hananiah meant Jehovah is gracious. Mishael meant God is our resemblance. And Azariah meant Jehovah is my helper. Y'all, their names meant something. And by the way, I need everybody to understand and agree that your name ought to mean something too. As a matter of fact, let me ask you a question. Amen. What do people think about when they hear your name? Are they irritated or inspired? Are they helped or are they harmed? Are they encouraged or are they exasperated? These three Hebrew boys were captured and carried from the hills of Jerusalem and taken in shackles to the lowlands of Babylon. They were brought there as slaves. And yet, my brothers and sisters, because of their combined and cumulative ingenuity, creativity, and initiative, they were quickly elevated from being captives into being courtiers in the king's service. Tell your neighbor, won't God do it? It was a customary part of the indoctrination of the empire that whenever people were enslaved, it was their custom to change their names and thereby disconnect them from their history, from their heritage, and from their hope. We know something about that in America. Because whether you know it or not, history, heritage, and hope are all connected. It teaches us that if we don't know our history, we will have no sense of our heritage. And if we are unaware of our heritage, then ultimately we will have no hope. And we wonder why crime is on the rise. We wonder why young black boys and young black girls are acting foolishly on the streets of our nation. It could be, amen, that they have been detached from their heritage. You've got to know where you are in order to have insight into where you're going. And that's why everything from your past, please hear me well this morning, everything from your past is intricately connected to where you are right now. Is there anybody here who understands that you didn't get here by accident, that it's no coincidence where you are right now, that everything that happened in your past is intricately connected to where you are right now, and where you are right now has a large part to do with where you're going to be tomorrow. I hope we're instilling in our young people that they're headed somewhere. And they need not forsake what has happened in their past, amen, to understand that where God is trying to take them required that they go through some stuff. I wish I had some Christians. Some of these preachers are sitting up here real quiet, looking cute, amen, like you haven't been through nothing, amen. But you got to remember that your time will come and you'll want somebody to say something. I wish I could get one or two folk up in here who don't mind saying, Pastor, I've been through a whole lot of stuff in my past, and I'm not going to sit in here with my cute self and act like I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, act like I was born in Buckingham Palace. I have been through some stuff, but I can give God praise because I know that if it hadn't been for what I went through yesterday, I wouldn't be able to hold my head up high today. Somebody ought to give him praise. Be careful how you try to cancel out where you've been. Because God can use where you're from to prepare you for where he's trying to take you. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? Yeah, you were born on the wrong side of the tracks. Had a baby out of wedlock. You've dealt with hurt and pain and mistakes and missteps, infidelity, divorce, embarrassment, and humiliation. People walked out on you. You've lost along the way. You've been evicted. You've been laid off. You've had setbacks. You've had failures. Amen. But you have to know where you're from in order to get a grip on where you're going. Be careful how you curse your past in the face of your present, because it can bless your future. Your heritage and your history can help you to see clearly where you are. And these three Hebrew boys, Brother Stewart, were given new names in the land of their captivity, and they came to be known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But though their names were changed, they remembered the meaning of the names they received in their heritage. Hananiah, God is gracious. Oh my. But they changed his name to Shadrach, which meant under the command of Aku. Who is Aku? Aku was the Babylonian moon god. Mishael meant God is our resemblance. They changed his name to Meshach, which meant who is like Aku. Again, Aku is the Babylonian moon god. Azariah meant God is my helper. His name was changed to Abednego, which meant servant of, watch this, the gods. Now you need to look at these three Hebrew boys, because you will discover with them that they weren't tripping over a label or a tag. They remembered who they were, and more importantly, they remembered, amen, Deacon Smith, whose they were. Y'all, can I tell you one prayer that I have? I have a prayer, and the prayer is simply this: Lord, deliver me from people who get hung up on titles. Amen. Lord, deliver me from people who try to be in name what they are not in function. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying you can talk that talk, but if you can't walk the walk that you talk, your title don't mean nothing. You don't have to keep announcing to folk, I'm a Christian. Amen. Just be a Christian. You don't have to keep telling folk you own a business. Just run your business. Amen. You don't have to keep reminding everybody you're a preacher, I'm a pastor, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm a deacon, I'm a leader, I'm a president of this and president of that. All of that don't really mean a thing. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your witness? What are you doing with your testimony and your function? When they left the hills of Judah as captives, they were forced to leave all of their possessions behind. The city lay in ruins. Their towers were destroyed. The gates of their cities had been ripped from their hinges. Their families had been decimated and scattered. Their businesses had been shattered and ruined. Their wealth had been plundered, their money had been seized, and even the privilege to choose their own praying ground, all of that was left behind. You see, the Babylonians were a non-religious kind of people. As a matter of fact, they were polytheistic. They had many gods. Amen. And as a matter of fact, one of the traditions in Babylon was that whenever they changed kings, they got a new god. Amen. Whenever a new king came on the throne, amen, he would bring on his own god, his own way of worship, his own religion. Amen. And so when Nebuchadnezzar ascended to the throne in Babylon, he brought with him his own method, his own manner of religion, his own way of doing things. But that's why I wanted to preach this morning to our youth and to the parents, because you need to make sure that you give your children something that will withstand political winds. I don't know about y'all, but oh my, we've been through some stuff. Yes, sir. 45, amen, brought on some stuff, amen, amen. And if we're not grounded, if we don't have some godly bricks in our pocket, if we don't have some good spiritual cement in our shoes, we can end up being more wounded than healed because of the political winds that change. But although these three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had lost all of their possessions in Judea, they had not lost their faith in God. They brought that with them to Babylon. The name Babylon, by the way, means corruption and carnality. Tell your neighbor, take your faith with you. Take your faith with you. Young people, take your faith with you. Parents, make sure you instill faith in God in your children such that when they leave your house, amen, you don't have to worry so much about what they're doing at their friends' them house. Amen. You don't have to worry so much what they're doing when they go to the party or when they go wherever it is they go, because you know you have instilled faith in God in them. And although they had lost their families, they didn't lose their faith. Y'all, they brought their faith with them to Babylon, the place of corruption and carnality. Amen. They brought some stuff with them. Hey, can I tell you some of what they brought with them? The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid. They brought that with them to Babylon. They brought some stuff with them. They brought, amen, hast thou not known that the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding, for he gives power to the weak, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. They brought that with them. They brought it with them. They brought it with them. They brought it with them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. They brought that with them. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. They brought that with them. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth. Oh my, they brought that with them. You got to make sure, parents, that amen, and thank God for all the activities that they're involved in. That's important. That's good. That helps to ground them. Amen. But if they don't have some word in their heart, amen, if they don't have some scripture in their minds, I wish I could get one or two real folk up in here who will testify that life will send some stuff your way. That if you don't have a word, if you don't have a song, amen. I heard Brother DeGray say you learn when it gets hard who your real friends are. And some of y'all counting on friends when the bottom drops out, but you better get some word in your heart. You better get some word in your mind, some word that will remind you that he'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Take your faith with you. All of their possession, all of their property was back in Judea. But their faith was in their hearts. God's law was etched into their minds. You got to take it with you. And so y'all know the story. After Nebuchadnezzar had been successful, he expanded the boundaries of Babylon. Y'all know that he had them to build this golden image. Amen. This God he built, and he said that everybody's going to have to worship this God that I built. It was some 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And whenever the musicians would play, the folk were supposed to bow down and worship this God. It was a symbol of his success. And there's nothing that succeeds like success. He was a winner. And I remember Natalie Cole had a song that said, everybody loves the winner. He was a number one stunner. He was a baller and shot caller, blinging and shining and rolling and popping his collar. So he built this God, say, y'all gonna worship this image of me. Oh my, this image symbolizes for us all those false gods that arise around us that demand our attention and solicit our worship. Can I come to your seat this morning? Amen. Especially those of you who tune me out, can I come down your aisle? Amen. What is the false god near you that you're tempted to bow down and worship? Is it your man, your woman, your secular phone, your boo, your child, your job, is it pleasure, possessions, rings, and things? I want to tell you very quickly that there's a false god in every one of our lives that seeks our praise and wants to get us to bow down. And when you study those two words, bow down out, you'll discover that in the Hebrew, bow down is nafal and sagid, and it really means to wither. To bow down means to die. To bow down means to yield and submit yourself to something that ain't God. And I want to tell you today, you can have money, but money can't give you meaning. Do I have a witness today? You can have a good job, but a job is not going to give you joy. Oh, I know I ought to have a witness right there. You can have a lot of good things, but things cannot give you tranquility. You can have gorgeous gadgets in your kitchen, sparkling splendor in your bathroom. luxury in your living room and beauty in your bedroom, but none of those things can turn your house into a home. Come here, Luther Vandross. Is there anybody here who knows that things will not make you? So even if you have custom hung draperies from wall to wall, 2-inch deep, double extra padded carpet, central air conditioned, heated floors, multi-stacking CD, DVD, MP3, got all that hooked up to your widescreen, plasma high definition, 5,000K color television, stainless steel freezer full of fresh fish and filet mignon. But if there's no love there, if there's no peace there, if there's no Holy Ghost there, if there's no prayer there, if there's no devotion there, if there's no family time or consecration there, then you've got nothing but custom draped discord. You ain't got nothing but wall-to-wall confusion, fresh frozen disappointment, high-definition trouble, a widescreen, untelevised color catastrophe, and you're living in an air-conditioned hell because if God ain't in it, you can't win it. Is there anybody here who knows that you need God on your side? Give him praise in this place. Takes more than that. Takes more than stuff. Takes more than possession. Yeah, you got you some rims, but them rims ain't gonna help you when you get sick. You gotta have God in your life. I'm coming to a close, but King Nebuchadnezzar built a statue of himself. He sent word to all his cabinet, his officials, amen. He said that when the music plays, I want everybody to bow down. Amen. And y'all, do y'all know what happened? Everybody bowed down except three Hebrew boys. Oh my, oh my, oh my. And what Nebuchadnezzar did, he said, I'm going to throw a party. Y'all know we like parties. I didn't really know how much we like parties until church anniversary. I said, we ain't going to feed the folk in the afternoon. We're just going to feed the guests. We're not going to feed members. And a lot of y'all showed me, said, well, all right. You just feed the guests and watch what I'm going to be feeding myself at home. So I told my culinary minister, well, we're going to feed everybody from now on every time. But we want y'all here. Amen. But the king said, we're going to have this party. And y'all, they showed up for the party. The brothers were there looking clean and lean and mean, haircut, face shaved, pocket fat, suit cut, rolling in style, had their 24s on their chariots. Sister showed up. Y'all know the sister showed up. Oh, my. And I ain't hating on nobody, and I'm not, please don't take this as an offense, but at Southern's game yesterday, there were two young ladies that came. I sit in a season ticket section. It's mainly older folk. These two young ladies came in there, and they sat there. They were fine as wine, and they had so many eyelashes on that you couldn't see their eyes. And this old lady, if you watch my Facebook, there's an old lady that sits right behind me. She's been a season ticket holder for like 50 years. She sits right behind me, and y'all will see her dancing sometimes. Her steps are getting a little slow, but she still, amen, they played the Tootsie Roll song or something, and she was doing the best Tootsie Roll she could do. But when those two young ladies came with the eyelashes, that lady said, what is all of that? And I had to ask, I said, y'all didn't wear that when you were, she said, we ain't had nothing like that. And if we had it, I wouldn't have worn it. Amen. But King Nebuchadnezzar, Brother Thompson, he threw this party and they showed up. The brothers showed up. The ladies showed up. They were there with the lips, the hips, the fingertips, hair fried, dyed, laid to the side, nails manicured, little designs on them, and all of that. They showed up to the party, and then came the crowning moment. The king unveiled this statue, and the music started playing, and everybody bowed down. But word got back to the king that in the kingdom there were three who did not bow down. It was Shadrach, it was Meshach, it was Abednego. And the king summoned them to the palace and said, well, I'm going to give them another chance. He said, fellas, I got a report that when the music played, y'all did not bow down. And the king said, I'm going to give you another chance. I want you to bow down when the music plays. The messenger said, Your Majesty, these three men have no power. They have no political influence. In fact, these three men are slaves who were brought to Babylon when we bum-rushed Jerusalem, robbed it of all its treasures. The king commanded them to be brought to him, and they stood before the king. They didn't